Thank you, Jesus. Come on and give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You didn't have your Bibles, open it to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. Thank you, Jesus. Funny thing this morning, got here and the pastor was talking with the elder, and one of the things that he mentioned is warfare. We're still in a warfare, and we have to make war in the right manner in order to win the war. You have to do it according to God's way, not according to our way. So we're in the book of Ephesians. We're going to go to the 6th chapter. Very familiar passages of scripture. Ephesians 6 and 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Come on and give God some praise. Hallelujah. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're going to come back to that. Jump down to the 18th verse. While you're being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, you have to do something. 18th verse is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Why? Because it says, "Finally, my brethren." It didn't say, "Finally, my brother." It says, "My brethren." Once again, it's talking about body ministry. It's not talking about us or individually. You have to put on the whole armor of God. You have to be strong in the Lord. But you also have to remember that this is still a body, and that we don't make the war by ourselves.
Amen.
Praying always. Prayer to God. That's what it's talking about. We're praying to God on every occasion, and in every season. You've got to pray. Okay, you cannot let seasons dictate to you when you pray to God. And you got to pray through. The prayer is also talking about personal devotion, praying with all prayer. In other words, not just getting out asking what you have need of. First of all, you got to praise God.
Amen.
When you begin to praise God and tell him how good he is and how wonderful he is, guess what? God starts doing like this. Now I hear my name being called. He starts looking. Now he sees all things, but I'm just using that as an example. God begins to look at and point his ear. Somebody's calling my name. I hear my name being praised. I hear my name being magnified. So that gets his attention. Then once you do that, then you can ask for your need. Supplication, my necessity. And I'm praying in the Spirit. Not to get into my flesh. Because there's a tendency to get into the flesh when we have needs. Okay? We in the Holy Spirit, we know the Holy Spirit is the giver of all things. Not only will he give you what you ask for, he will give you the words to pray.
Amen.
so that we stay in line. Once again, talking about winning the war. So praying to God on every occasion, in every season, praying through, giving God praise for our necessity in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. In other words, I don't just pray for myself. That word watching means literally lying sleepless while I'm praying thereunto with all perseverance. In other words, I'm patient in my prayer for the supplicants of what my brothers and my sisters need. Once again, it's not just a selfish prayer. It's a prayer I pray for myself. God allows me to pray for myself. But also, God put himself on the line. God, he was a selfless God. When he walked the earth, he didn't think about himself. He didn't think about what people were going to say about him or what they were going to do to him. He came down here. Why? Because of us. Therefore, in turn, now that we are the saints of God, we have to, in turn, become selfless. We have to become looking after our brothers and sisters' needs, praying. Literally praying, staying up. Sometimes you have to lose sleep to pray for your brothers and your sisters. This is a serious thing because you will get a result. Once again, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, patient praying, praying through on their behalf, for their necessity, for all the saints, not just the saints here, not just the saints in this room. There's saints all over the world. We have to understand and recognize that we are part of a great and vast body.
Amen.
And that when we pray for all the saints. Guess what? Even the ones we don't agree with.
Amen.
You got to pray for their necessity, their needs, that God will move on their behalf in their churches so that we might become one. God wants us all to become one. So if we all pray the same prayer, we'll all get the same result. Come on and give God some prayer. So once again, let me read that again. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now let me get back to the result. When Peter was locked up in jail, what did the saints do? They prayed. They literally watching. They were sleepless. They didn't get any sleep praying for Peter. What happened? Peter got a miracle. Peter got out of jail. Why? Because of the prayer of the saints. Your prayer is very important unto God. Don't let yourself tell you that you are not important.
Amen.
Because you know, like Pastor was talking about, we have a tendency when things are not going right to beat up on ourselves. That weapon that we have, prayer, that communication, line of communication, we have to keep it open, not only for ourselves, but for our loved ones and for those that have a need. There are many people in the body of Christ that got a need.
Amen.
And God will show you faces that you've never encountered and you might not never encounter in this life, but it's necessary for their building up. It's necessary for their edification that we pray for them. Once again, come on, give God some praise.
Amen.
19th verse. And he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And for Paul. Paul was asking for prayer. Sometimes, you know, some people that really don't know or they don't have an understanding about men and women of God because of the way they projected themselves. See, I know y'all seen a lot of football games, and we see this one young man named Cam Newton plays for the Carolina Panthers. And every time he scores a touchdown, he does like this. That means he's Superman. Okay? And a lot of times what that means is saints will look at a pastor or something as a Superman. That he don't have no problems. He don't go through nothing because he can pray to God. He don't go through anything. So we tend not to pray for him. But you have to pray for them also. Because guess what? They going through. They got a lot going on. Let me tell you something. When Pastor Rutherford and Pastor Gardner are up here ministering, I pray for them. Why? So that they can have the clarity so that God can move through them. Why? So that the body can be blessed.
Because God has given it to the head, it's got to go out. That's what he's asking for. And for me, that utterance, that the word may be given, the words used as an instrument, God may use me as an instrument in order that I may, in the opening of my mouth, I might be bold to declare the mystery of this God. Now, he's talking about the mystery. We talked about some of that last week. We're not going to go back into that. But he has to tell it. About one, at least one portion, that we are the body of Christ, because a lot of times we don't understand. I was talking with my nephew. A lot of saints still don't understand that we are the body.
Amen.
When you don't understand that you're the body, you can look down on your brothers and your sisters.
Right.
That's where the haughtiness comes in. That's when I can get into my flesh, and then I look at Brother Tony with a haughty spirit because he happens to be going through something. I can look down on Brother Tony. But if I look at my own self, just looking at my hand, this finger is not better than this one. It's attached to the same hand. We have to become body-minded. And we have to pray for those in authority God has put in front of us that they can stand up here and deliver what they have to deliver. Because let me tell you something. We go through, just like you do. We go through.
Amen.
And things vex our mind and our spirit, so you have to pray for them that God may be able to give them the clarity that they need. Let me tell you how it worked. When they I first found out I really didn't know I was diabetic, but I knew I wasn't feeling well. Okay? And I told Pastor, this was before the song service, this was a couple years back, and he prayed for me. And naturally, you're thinking that God gonna do, you naturally do the healing a lot of times. But God doesn't do that a lot of times. A lot of times it's a testing period you may be going through.
Yeah.
And what happens is God will give you focus through your problems when the people of God pray for you. So what happened was, it was like I was in a fog. The fog began to clear up and I was able to do the thing that God wanted me to do. That's what you do when you pray for the men and the women of God. You give them clarity. You give the pastor clarity, and you get yourself clarity when God will use you in that manner, so that you can do the bold work, that you can do the work that you've been called to do. Come on, give God some more praise. Hallelujah. And here's the reason why. He says, Paul says, for which I'm an ambassador. Now, I'm an ambassador of God in chains. Paul was, at this point, was locked up. Now you think about that. You got you chained. It wasn't like, you know, you look on lockup and you in a cell. Most times you were chained to an individual. And they didn't leave you. You were chained to them. Maybe at the changing of the guard. So you had somebody there watching you 24/7. When you just think about all of the situations that we go through in the day, and you got somebody chained to you. Okay, you don't have no privacy. Okay, and yet you got to stand up and deliver this word that God has given you, even in your midst of your situation. That's why you have to pray for one for another, because so that God will still have his way in spite of the situations and the circumstances that may be going on in an individual's life. That's how you begin to win the war.
Amen.
He said, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly or speak freely. In other words, speak even though I speak freely, like I don't have a chain, even though I got a chain, even though I am locked up, but I'm speaking as though I don't have one. Why? Because God will give you the mindset that you will be able to look past your problems, past your circumstances, and be able to do the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's go back to that 10th verse. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, from henceforth, be empowered. From this time forward, understand that you are part of the body, and be empowered in the Lord. Rest and continue in the Lord, who is your superior. Remember, he's called you into this army. Rest and continue in the Lord and the power. The power there is talking about strength as exerted. Of his might, strength as an endowment. In other words, he's giving you physical strength. And what that strength represents, more than anything, it represents self-control.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus manifested that power 24 hours a day. That was the great power. It wasn't the fact that he could raise the dead. Those were snapshots of his power. That was a snapshot. When he healed the blinded eyes, that was just a flash of his power. But the self-control, because that's why the Father sent him down here, because he had to overthrow what the old man did. He had to come down here to overthrow that. There was no way. He couldn't sit up on the throne and do that. Now, Lucifer, he dealt with him. What did he tell? I beheld Lucifer as lightning. In other words, Lucifer and his boys got their game together. They're going to overthrow God. As fast as they went in, they went out even faster. But the man, he had to come down here because the man was the federal head of the creation and he caused everything to fall. So Jesus had to come down here and show us the right way, because the man was down here and he went the wrong way. So now Jesus, the pattern, has to come down here and show us the right way. So from henceforth, be strong in the Lord, rest in his power, rest in his superiority. In other words, he's my superior. I can't do this by myself. I don't know how to walk this walk. He's got to show me. So I rest in him. I rest in his power, I rest in his authority, I rest in his self-control.
Amen.
I rest in his self-control, control over Tim. That's who I have to control. That's what the power has been given unto me for. I rest in it. So from this point, I understand who I am in the body of Christ. So from this point forward, I'm strong in Jesus and I rest in his self-control, and I allow that self-control to take over.
Man.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor so that God can give you a view of anything that's coming your way, so that you can focus on what's coming your way. Because if you allow God, God will, even in the midst of your circumstances, he will begin to show you, in spite of the pressure that's going on, God will show you what you are up against. Here's talking about against the wiles of the devil, against the methods of the devil, against the artifice or the buildings or the contrivances. What he builds up, the craft that he does, the devices that he uses. Now, this devil, we're talking about the slanderer, the man Adam. Because Lucifer was defeated. Man, what? Understand this when he talks about that word devil. Anything that operates in a manner that is outside God, God classifies it as devil. Same thing with the word Satan. Go to Matthew's. Matthew 16 chapter. Matthew 16. We start 16 and 21. Everybody have it? Say amen.
Amen.
It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. You know what? Let's go back. Everybody had that? Say amen.
Amen.
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom do ye say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, upon the revelation that he gave Peter that he was the Christ. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now jump down to the 21st verse. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took Jesus aside, and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, it shall not be unto thee." God is telling him the plan that was going on since the beginning of time, and Peter's taking him aside saying, "No, that's not going to happen." So he turned, Jesus turned, and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Notice, he is not casting out a devil, he is calling Peter Satan. He says, "Thou art an offense unto me." He said, in other words, he said, "Peter, you've just become a stumbling block to me. For thou savorest, thou regardest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men."
All right.
Anything that will put you in the realm of man has the ability to put you in the category of being a Satan. Because you have just become God's adversary when you step out of his will. When you know his will and step out of his will, then he can say the same thing to you that he said to Peter.
Right.
So we have to be careful that we don't get in the way of things. You have to have an understanding of God's word according to the plan. So like we're talking about making war, we make war the correct way so that we can win the battle and please God, not please ourselves. Because there's a lot of folks, you know, we're talking about be strong in the Lord. They rested in their own power.
Yeah.
I might as well go and say it. They depended on their power that no evil oil. They rested in that power of those magic packets that they advertising on TV. They tell you to send in for that instead of telling you to rest in Jesus.
Amen.
That stuff can't save you. When you get in trouble, that ain't going to work. Those things are points of contact.
Amen.
Yeah.
They're points of contact. They don't have no power in them. You have the power.
Amen.
The power is in you. Why? Jesus died so that he can invest himself in you.
Right.
Amen.
So you rest in that power. Come on, give God some praise. Let's go back to Ephesians. So put on the whole armor that ye may be able to stand against the methods of the slanderer accused. What's one of his methods? Pastor Relaford was talking about it this morning in the workers' meeting. You think you're going to sleep and you're going to rest all night. Here come now, all of a sudden you're having all kinds of dreams and all kinds of stuff. You fighting in the midst of your sleep. Who you fighting? Devil can't cross the bloodline. Lucifer can't cross the bloodline. But there's one that's already born that's in you, who's already inside. And he's waging war against the God that's in you. That's a strategy to get you tired. To get you frustrated so that you don't rest in the power, that you don't put the armor on. That you may be able to stand against the strategy of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, to the fighting. Because, you know, back then in Greek times, if you wrestled, you didn't have armor on. It's just like wrestling. You watch the WWE. They don't have no armor on when they get in the ring. They got some trunks on and some boots and that's it. So we fight not against flesh and blood. We don't fight against blood and flesh. We don't fight against human beings, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against principalities, the chief rule or the chief or the ruler. We fight against natural tendencies, principalities. Here you want, when the man and the woman did what they did in the garden, God confronted them, "What hast thou done?" He said, "The woman." She said, "The serpent." What they did, they created a principality of blame. So now, every time we get in trouble, if you don't watch it, you do something wrong, who are you looking for somebody to point the finger at? Why? Because that's a principality. Powers. Talking about delegated power. You can throw Lucifer into that. He's giving him delegated authority. He's got his sphere of activity, which is the air. He is in exile. He got kicked out. Lucifer didn't want to come down here on the earth. One of them couldn't, because that's man's domain. God told the man, subdue the earth, replenish the earth. Now, he couldn't subdue it according to the way God wanted, because he messed up. Now, he replenished the earth in his own image. But he runs stuff down here. Now, Satan has his influence. Lucifer has his influence. Let's not be, I'm not trying to erase him. Okay, but what I'm trying to get you to see is that it's more than him, because what we have the tendency to do is blame everything on spirits. And a lot of times the word spirit is translated mindset. Talking about a mindset. So we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against mindset, against delegated authority. Like I say, Lucifer has his sphere of authority. God allowed him to be where he is. World rulers. People that are in authority over the planet against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against the world rulers. Why? He said the light shone in the darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. Right. He was showing the light unto men and the men didn't want to understand. They like darkness. So that's where they operate. Against the world rulers of the darkness, this present order of things, this present order that's anti-God. Like I said, you don't have to look for the man. The mindset is here. Once again, we don't want God in our school. We don't want God in our money. We want the name of God not even mentioned anymore. That is anti-God. And let me tell you something. Ain't no devil convinced them to do it. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. And they are bold about it. That's why we have to be bold in the things that we do to show that there is a God and that God is to be declared great in the earth by us. Amen. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Against the spiritual wickedness in the high place. Now, they could also talk about like I say, once again, the demons, because they are evil and they have a vicious disposition. And it also could be talking about some of the hierarchy in some of the churches. Spiritual wickedness in high places, places of authority. That's why you have to put your faith and your trust in God and not in a man. So if the man or the woman happens to fall, you don't lose your place. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. On account of what's going on, that what we're wrestling against, and it's not human being, but it's mindsets. And yeah, we have encounters with demons. And yeah, you got even more encounters with hateful mindset. Because let me tell you something. When I found out about flesh, and that flesh hates God, it don't understand the things of God. All it knows is that it's something different about you, and they don't like you. You don't have to say nothing. All you have to say is good morning. They got issues with you. Why? Because they hate the God that's in you. Amen. That's the warfare that you got to overcome. Why? Because they're going to bombard you with that hatred. They're going to do little things to get you off your track. That's talking about the strategy that the enemy has for you. To get you off your track. But a lot of times, we have a thing even in the midst of our working where we can worship God and where we can think about the things of God. What they want to do is they don't understand that you're thinking about these things. All they know is they don't like you and they want to disrupt you. So they get you off of your game. On account of this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. That ye may be able, in order that ye may be able to set yourself against the opposition. Not that I gotta have a attitude, but I know what's coming my way so that it doesn't affect me. I don't walk around like this is skipping through the garden and nothing's going on and all. No. You in a warfare. You in a warfare and folks don't like you. Amen. because of who you are. A lot of times it may be other church folks. Why? Because they in competition. My church is better than your church. When there's only one Jesus, he died for everybody. It doesn't make no difference what name is over the place that you assemble. It's only one Jesus. So how can your anointing be greater than mine when it's only one anointing? Because that's what the word Christ means. Christ means the anointed one. So if I have the anointed one in me, my anointing can't be greater than yours, because it's only one anointed, because it's only one Jesus, and he spreads himself throughout all the members of the body. So I just look at my anointing graveyard, okay? That's like blood. I use my hand as an example, okay? There's only so much blood that can go into this little finger. If it gets more blood than one of these, it's going to bust. It's going to bust. You can't get more than what God intended you to have. He intended you to have what you got. And it's in an equal share. Now, there's greater faith. Okay? There can be greater faith, because faith cometh by hearing the word of God. And a lot of times, I know I kind of beat this up a little bit. A lot of times, folks, faith is not working on the measure that it should, because you don't entertain all of what God's word says. Meaning, a lot of times folks will limit themselves to what happened in the Old Testament. Sometimes they'll limit themselves to the Old Testament and the four Gospels. Sometimes they'll jump over and they'll get the epistles, but they'll pass over the other two. You got to have the whole word. The whole word. Why? Because it all connects together. It all has a seamless, what's the name? There's no cracks in the word where you can find a place of dividing. It's one word, but you have to flow, because it flows together. God is flowing from one point of the old over into the kingdom where Jesus walked the earth, into the epistles now. That's where you've got to follow God in the same way that they followed the cloud when God was over them in the wilderness. You have to follow God. Why? Because if you don't, you're exposed to the elements.
Right. Amen.
That's what it means to take upon you the whole armor of God. Once again, wherefore, on account of what we got to go through and what we have to face, take up the whole armor that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, I don't mean that the day itself is evil, because, I mean, we just had a wonderful day. 75, 80 degrees, sunshine, blue sky. But with what comes along with the day?
Yeah.
Folks tripping out on the jobs and that's what we're talking about. Things, hurtful things that can come along on the course of your day. You've got to be able to withstand that. When you go on your job and they're tripping, or your boss gets to tripping, or your kids get to tripping, you've got to be able to withstand in that even day. And having done all, you work to continue to stand. You work to continue to stand up with that armor on. Standing fast, having done all to stand. You work it. You take it up, you put it on. Gonna continue on. Come on, give God some more praise.
Yeah.
14th verse. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Stand up, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having girded your loins with truth. See, when I was looking at that today and I seen the word loins, that made me think about reproduction. Okay? So that since you're girding yourself with God's truth, that truth might be reproduced in you. And so when things come up to squeeze you, Pastor always said, whatever in a man is going to come out. So if you've got the truth in there, when you get squeezed because you're firmed up with it, the truth is going to come out of your mouth and not the lie. Because a lot of folks, they get squeezed, pop, here come the lie. Where did it come from? You didn't put this truth. You didn't gird yourself up with this truth. You didn't strengthen yourself with this truth. Strengthen the back so that the truth of God can reproduce itself in your life. So See, a lot of folks, he tells you to put the armor on, but we get in a situation, we'll take the armor off. So they take that truth off, so they're not girded, they're not strengthened in it. So when trouble comes, here comes the lie. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, having put on righteousness, upright conduct. Jesus put that on. He put on the Father's righteousness, upright conduct, so that what they said, he defended himself by being upright from what the wicked was saying about him. They accused Jesus of all manner of things, but it didn't stick to him. They may say things about you, but if you're wearing God's breastplate, as a breastplate. See, we're supposed to wear his righteousness as a shield over our heart and over our character, so that when they see us, they see God. They don't see somebody that's stuck up, because a lot of times folks get stuck up in they self and they think they're the best thing since sliced bread. It's all about them. I was telling my nephew, because some of y'all know that you've been over to where I've ministered that before. I'm not going to even mention the name. But they got a different mindset. It's all about flesh. A fleshy mindset. So when they get up, it's all about them. It's not about Jesus. It's about seeing me. It's like I'm on one of them shows. And I'm displaying my talent. I'm not lifting up Jesus. I'm displaying who I am. Instead of displaying who he is.
Right.
That's what it means to have on the breastplate of righteousness. So that Jesus is always on display. So that they may say things about you, but it don't stick. Another person can see. I'll give you a good example. My pastor here, when I first got here, you're trying to find your way and you begin to work with people. And one of the things I heard about him, he don't mind me telling it, is that he was lazy. They used to say that. I used to hear a bunch of saints say that. He lazy. I'm like, I was going to get into that. Wait a minute. Hold it. Let's see. I began to look for myself. Like, that man ain't lazy. I see what it is. He got his own way of doing stuff. And they don't like it. Because a lot of times what people want you to do is when they say jump, well, I'll give you a funny one. Everybody seen Bugs Bunny? Yosemite Sam?
Yep.
He's on the back of the mule. He wants to chase Bugs Bunny.
Yep.
Giddy up, mule, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, mule, giddy up. The mule's just standing there while he's beating him. Giddy up, mule, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, do this, get up. When I say giddy up, I mean giddy up. So the mule starts running. Whoa, mule, whoa, mule, whoa, mule. Mule ain't stopping. When I say whoa, I mean whoa. That's what folks want you to do sometimes. And when you don't do that, then they give you a reputation. You've got to be careful, because a lot of times a person of authority may say something about an individual and you'll go right along with it. You've got to have your own mind. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Once again, having that breastplate of righteousness on, so that things that are said don't stick to you. The false accusers, their words can't stick to you. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having put on, now they talk about, if you look at the Romans, their shoes were different. They had the sandals on and they had a piece of metal over their feet and a piece of metal going up their shin. Why? So that when the enemy would try to kick them or something, it wouldn't hurt them. The gospel that we take is not supposed to hurt people. We're supposed to take the gospel of peace, not only that God will give you peace, but that we also have peace with God. Why? Because of his sacrifice. I got peace with God. Why? Because of what Jesus did. It ain't what I did. I didn't do nothing. Couldn't do anything. Okay, he did it all. I've got peace with God. And that I can spread the gospel of peace instead of the gospel of war or the gospel of conflict. Because a lot of folks like to come to you, hey, did you hear about brother so-and-so? Instead of praying, we go to talking. Little groups get to talking. You hear about this? You hear about that? Hey, Brother Tony, you hear about Sister Norma? Blah, blah, this, that. You don't know if it's true or not, but you spread something. And see, we're supposed to be saints. We understand the world doing that because they don't have no God, or they're their own God, or they're serving themselves. We're supposed to be the selfless ones. We're supposed to be the ones who lift each other up when somebody gets knocked down. Not stomp on them. That's how you do it when your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The readiness to spread the peace. Ready to spread the peace. Not blood. Not bloodshed. See, my trample over people's character and that type of thing. So your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, or in addition to. That word above all means in addition to. Taking up the shield of faith, or Christ himself. Go to Genesis 15 chapter. Genesis 15 chapter. I'm just going to read the first verse. Everybody have to say amen.
Amen.
He said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. I am thy shield. Christ himself is our shield. That is who we are supposed to allow to shield us and protect us. Having faith in Christ and in his abilities, not my own. So that I can stand. See what the, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself here. We're taking up the shield, Christ himself, of faith, wherein we rest in him. And we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That means anything thrown at you, you'll be able to quench it with the shield of faith. By resting in Jesus, who he is. When they talk about you, you rest in Jesus. When they say all manner of evil things about you, you rest in Jesus. When people have called themselves their friends, turn their back on you, you rest in Jesus. So that those things are not, or you shall be able to extinguish, quench, all the fiery darts, anything thrown of the wicked. Now, I know they used to talk about the devil. They don't have nothing to do with that. That word wicked talks about paneros. That's a Greek word. And it talks about labors and pains and working mischief. Somebody working hard. Somebody working up a sweat to do you in.
Amen.
And the only one I know that sweat is human beings. I ain't never seen Lucifer sweat. In fact, I ain't never seen him. Because guess what? I ain't looking for him.
Yeah.
I ain't looking to see him. I don't want to see him. Okay? I want to see Jesus. Okay? But in the meantime, let's go back to Ephesians. If you're already there, I'll probably be behind you guys. But anyway, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Anything thrown. See, and I was thinking about it. See, those darts. What happens, well, I'll give you a good example. This was years back. I was working at, it was called Hudson's then. It was Macy's now. And I was taking one of those fixtures off the floor. They put on it. It had a piece of glass on the top, and I think they had somewhere you had hangers on. Well, anyway, they took the bar with the hangers off, and I'm taking the thing in the back. Okay, and I'm not using a cart where it can roll on. I'm sliding it across this tile floor. Well, in the back area, the tile floor is all broke up. So I'm pushing this thing, and all of a sudden, it starts bouncing. Okay, and the glass starts breaking. And me, instead of just letting the glass break and fall, I'm going to try to catch it. Wound up slicing up my finger pretty good. First time I got stitches. Only got two, but I got stitches. When you take a fiery dart, first thing you do, it hurts. That's number one. See? People do things to try to hurt you. The next thing that happens when you get hurt is you get angry. When you get angry, that's why you have to have all of those fiery darts quenched. That's why you have to rest in Jesus, because you can get angry. And when you get angry, the next thing you want to do is to retaliate against the individual or individuals that have put the hurt on you. That's why you need the face of God to put them out.
Amen.
That's why you use Jesus as your shield. So when they say hurtful things about, have they heard said hurtful things about you, Brother Tim? Yes, they have. Because I'm not married, first thing, and I'm not trying to go after every skirt in the church. First thing is, he must be gay. I heard from saints. Saints. Heard one say it and another agree to it. And, you know, trying to be nice and gentlemanly, maybe it was because I didn't like the character that I saw. Maybe that's why. Did you all think about that? That's what I'm talking about. You having such a high opinion of yourself. In other words, you just have to look at yourself in the mirror, accept yourself the way you are. You ask Jesus to help improve. You don't get so caught up that I'm, you know, the rest of Mr. Wonderful. Come to the ring with his robe. He introduced himself as Mr. Wonderful. Got a lot of saints in church, Mr. and Miss Wonderful. When Jesus is the wonderful one, see?
Yeah.
But yeah, so heard that. You know, it hurt. It hurt. It hurt. I had to get myself together. Because not only was the saints, but I knew him and we were kind of close. So when that happens, you gotta have that shield up because you can go off.
Amen.
Seen it where in the church, we're talking about back when my father was alive and was preaching, and we were in the church a Sunday morning service, and one man got mad at this one lady, and they had a confrontation, and the next thing I know, he judo chopped her in the neck in the sanctuary. Well, she had some family members that weren't saved. She called them up. Next thing you know, this was back in the 60s when I was little. They rolled up with the guns. I thought they was going to blast somebody right in the church. Out of control. Out of control. It doesn't matter what is said to you. You got sometimes to bite your tongue. You got to maintain that self-control that Jesus maintained. He was the Son of God. I know he could have, with a wave of his hand, he could have wiped them into non-existence. Just think about it. Let's think about how powerful Jesus was, and that he restrained himself and loved them, even though they were there to crucify him. They were the Pharisees and Sadducees trying to destroy him on every occasion. Every time they wanted, we got to kill him. And he knew it. He had kind of, he knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. And yet he still tried to minister to them. See that? What an awesome God, that's all I can say. Because guess what? I know you're trying to kill me. I'm going to kill you first. If I'm not wrapped up in this word, that's the thought. That's the thought that goes through there. That's why you have to bring all those things under subjection. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Anything thrown at you. And take. Well, the word there, take, is not, we don't take salvation. The word there, take, means to, we receive salvation. And receive the helmet of salvation. Receive the protection for the head. Because what the helmet does, it surrounds the head. It's like a football helmet. Why do you need a helmet? Because it's not just talking about, you know what Pastor Relevant always said, it's more to salvation than just being that initial saving point. There's a lifestyle that goes along with it, where you grow and that you increase. The mind of God is in there. That's what that represents, that helmet. Okay? You've got to keep that helmet on. Now, in the NFL, you see now on the stories, they're talking about people suffering from concussion. You take that helmet off and some debris could knock you in your head. Okay? I've been concussed. It's not fun. It's not fun. It's the worst headache you ever want to feel. Then the irritation comes. You want to fight everybody because you want to make the headache go away. And it's not going away. It took about a week for the headache to go away. What is that going to do? That's going to cause you to lose your focus in the things of God. You got to keep that helmet on. In the Old Testament, the priest had a gold plate above their head. It said, holiness unto the Lord. That was the Old Testament representation of the mind of Christ. You got to keep that helmet on so that the things that you encounter don't concuss you, don't get you off track. That's what the mind of God is. It will allow you to see your way through situations and circumstances by keeping the helmet on. How many have seen the movie called Iron Man?
Yeah.
Raise your hands if you've seen it. Okay, well, so I'll have to explain it a little bit. Iron Man is a movie about a guy who invents a suit of armor. Okay? And in that armor can do a whole lot of things. It's computer generated, and it can fight, it can fly, it can do all sorts of things. But one of the most important things about that armor is that helmet. Because in the helmet, he gets a reading of what's going on around him. He can tell what's coming his way. He can tell what temperature it is outside. He can tell how high he is, how low he is. That's the way the mind of God is. You got the helmet on and you listening for the information that God has given you in your spirit. You can see what's coming your way. Why? So that sometimes if you got to hit it, you ready to hit it. Why? Because you got the armor on. Or that you can avoid it. The mind of God will cause you to go out of the way so you can avoid the trouble. Just like I was telling you about that time when my boss came in there and he was mad and I wasn't feeling all that great that day. He's going to talk about we had some reviews to write for him and he didn't do it. We had 2 weeks to do it. He's going to wait till the last day. And so I'm hearing him on the phone talking to his cousin. I want them reviews done when I get there. I wasn't feeling it that day. So I'm in the store. I go downstairs. I said, you know what? I'm going downstairs. I'm going to shop. Store wasn't open. I'm going shopping. I went down there and started looking at suits and all that kind of stuff to calm myself down. When I get up to the top, back up in the penthouse, there he is yelling and screaming and cussing and doing all of them. Yo, to the end of the store! Then he wants to, and what he does is they want to put everybody on their back pins. In other words, to knock you back. That's what you have to do in all to stand. You work to stand up in spite of what the attack comes. So now that I come in, now it's time to attack me. He's going to go back months and get something on an incident that was already closed. I'm going to bring it back up. Yeah, I told you, Tim, about this work order and you didn't close it out and blah, blah, this standard still over and blah. I said, first of all, it wasn't for us. It was for the carpenter. They're the ones that generated. Okay? Number two, your cousin was here that day. I said, and I was absent. Why aren't you yelling at him? His cousin looking for, because Terry was here. Let me tell you something. I thank God Terry, they put Terry in my life to teach me how to paint. But Terry was a rough customer. You talking about somebody that you had to put the brakes on? You had to put the brakes on that man because he was looking for a fight. Every day. And Terry's waiting. Like, what you want to say? Come on, say it. He didn't say nothing to Terry. Now, I'm really mad. I had a tendency, when I really got mad, I would go and start cleaning my brushes. So I'm over there at that sink and I'm just cleaning them. And I said, you know what? I should fix him good. All I got to do is send an email to the boss. Letting him know that we didn't have enough time to properly evaluate him and get him good. I said, yep, I'm going to fix him. Let me get ready to fix him good. The boss going to be yelling, cussing at him. Made a mistake, though. I asked the Lord, should I do it? I said, Lord, should I do it? God said, no, man, I was not happy. I wasn't. I said, Lord, should I send that email? I said, no, don't send it. God had an intent and a purpose already in mind. See, he'd been cheating time, you know, saying that he went down to Toledo and fill out a mileage form and all that so he could collect money and get off early, and he hadn't done it. He went down to Ohio. They tracking him. God already got him where he get ready to fix him permanently. I'm like, oh, God already on the thing. That's why he didn't want me to do it. All you're going to do is interfere. And then you're going to turn the enemy's attention toward you. That's what happened. A lot of times, you're in a position of being a subordinate, and you turn the an authority figure's wrath toward you. And if you stay small and listen to the word of God through the helmet of salvation, then you get to avoid those things. That's why you have to have that mindset on, so that when problems come, God will give you an out. Then it's up to you to take it. Lastly, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is talking about a rhema word. In other words, when you get time, it's not going to talk about the thought. God will give you something fresh and new that you have need of in that time. So it's important that you have the word. The word is very important. The word, everything is built upon the word. All of creation is built upon the word. Therefore, if you're standing with that word, you will be able to stand. If you're standing in your own strength, or you standing in somebody else's ideas, or standing on somebody else's feelings, when their things fall, you're going to fall with it. That's why it's important that you stay in the armor. Stay in the armor. Keep the armor on. Don't take the armor off. Don't allow situations and circumstances and feelings and what people say about you and what people think. Let them think it.
Amen.
Let them think it. Let them say it. Sometimes, you know, I didn't like when Pastor said that. He said, sometimes you have to let it hurt. Yo, I don't like hurting. I don't like it. You know, the other thing he said about me was because I was down there when the fellowship hall was open, trying to help them old ladies out. Now, because I'm back there in the washroom by myself while they're in the kitchen, I'm the pervert now because I'm down there with the old women. I'm like, man, they can't make up their mind. First, I'm gay. Now it's because I'm down there washing pots and pans. And they know most of y'all know where that room was. It's off to the side. It's off to the side. I'm over there by myself. I go in there, get them pot, take them in there, and scrub them so that them old ladies ain't got to be trying to work up a sweat to clean them pot. And you the pervert. And I'm the pervert because I went down there and helped them. Let me tell you something. Sometimes you can't win when it comes to that. But you can win by not allowing it to affect your course, by not allowing it to affect how you worship God. I've seen how they talked about this man. He was my example in a lot of things. When they talked about him and said things, he continued to march on in the things of God. He did not allow people or circumstances or what they said deter him. You cannot allow your course to be determined by anybody's words or what they feel or what they think. Your determination, your strength is in the armor. Your strength is in Jesus. Your strength is in the word. You've got to allow that to determine your course. You can't allow what people think and what people say move you. That Jesus didn't allow that to move him. He rested in the Father. He rested in his Father. We've got to rest in the nature and the character of God. If you rest in the nature and the character of God, you're going to be an overcomer. Come on and give God some praise. Everybody stand. We're done. Keep the armor on. Keep the armor on. In every situation, every circumstance, it will protect you. That's what the word of God is designed to do. It's designed to protect all of us at the same time, because we are the armies of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, it's individual, but it's also collectively. We have to remember that. We have to gird each other up. When you see a soldier that's falling down, you pick him up. You encourage him. You let him know that the fight ain't over, that he hasn't lost, Jesus, the victorious one, is in his life, and that he is a winner. In spite of what you go through, you are a winner. You are not a loser, because Jesus is victorious. My victory is in Jesus. My winning is in Jesus. My overcoming is in Jesus. Why? Because I'm going to rest in him. In spite of what I feel, in spite of what I think, in spite of what I'm going through, I'm going to have that armor on. Come on, give God's praise. Everybody come down front and give God a hand.